First Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is one of those sermons that has something for everybody. So regardless of where you stand in your relationship with God, this applies to all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, are we there? Verse 17 and 18. For since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. The church in Thessalonica was established by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. The record of that is found in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. For three Sabbaths in Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul entered into the Jewish synagogue, and there he proclaimed Christ and was having great success in the city of Thessalonica. However, persecution came and forced the Apostle Paul out of the city of Thessalonica. A short time after he was gone, the Apostle Paul penned the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And in the two verses that we just read, Paul is explaining to them his situation and his desire to come back to them and finish the work there. So Paul says, I want to come back. I want to see you face to face. And then he says to them that I personally, Paul, have tried over and over again to come back and to get back to you. But he says, I have been unable to do so. Well, why are you unable to get there? Look, you want to go back. They want you to come back. There is still the work of Christ that needs to be done in Thessalonica. You want to go. They want you to come. So what's hold up here? What's hold up? He describes the holdup in verse 18. Because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again have tried to get there. Well, what's the problem? Here's the problem. Verse 18. But Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. I want you to take a look at the word hindered there. Your translation may say stop, but most say hindered. The word that Paul chose to use here is a word that's very rich in meaning. The word there, hindered, means to impede one's course by cutting off the way. To impede one's course by cutting off the way. But the word is deeper than that. The word that Paul uses is actually the word that was used to describe the ancient military practice of making huge slits in the road in order to hold up the pursuing enemy. Let me explain that to you. In the ancient world, when the enemy was pursuing and you wanted to slow it down, you wanted to hinder them, you put huge slits in the road. So when the enemy approached, they'd have to dismount the horses to get around the slits. You were hindering them. Now, what Paul is saying is this: Satan was cutting off Paul's access to Thessalonica. Important. Paul does not tell us how Satan was doing that. Paul does not give us any information on how Satan was hindering him, other than he was hindering him and trying to cut off his access to those Christians. Now, Paul doesn't describe it, so speculating about it is useless because we don't know. But here's the point. Satan was hindering the progress of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Here's the point. Here's what we know for sure about it. Satan was trying to hold back the work of Christ among those Christians in Thessalonica. And so Paul says, listen, Satan hindered us. Look at me. Think about who said that. The man who said that is the same man who wrote a good portion of the New Testament. The man who said that was an apostle of Jesus Christ. The man who said that is a man who has planted more congregations of the Lord's church than probably anybody in the 2,000-year history of the church. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. If the Apostle Paul could be impeded in his work by Satan, you better believe that Satan can hinder us. If Satan could cut off Paul's access, you and I aren't going to get by without the same problem. But Satan hindered us. Now, I'm going to say something, and you're not going to like it. But don't rush me until I get through with this. We are allowing the devil to have too much control over our lives. How else do you explain this? We can spend hours and hours a day on the internet, and then we will turn right around and say, but I don't have time to read the Bible. What's the problem here? The problem is we are allowing Satan to hinder us. else do you explain this? We will watch hours of television a day. Hours a day of television, and the same day we won't spend 5 minutes praying. Well, what is the problem? The problem is we're allowing the devil to have too much control over our lives. That's the problem. Listen, how else do you explain that we're able to go to and fro, safe as it may be, we're able to go to and fro, and we kind of enjoy it, and this feels good, and yet Sunday morning seems to be just so tough to get to the church building? How do you explain that? Here's the explanation. Satan is hindering us. Now, let me finish that. When you and I fall short, when we fall short in our Christianity, it isn't because we hate God. We don't hate God. We love God. When we fall short, you know, it isn't because we don't love God. The problem, brethren, is that either we do not know the enemy, or we are ignorant on how to fight him and keep him at bay in our lives. You with me? Paul said, but Satan hindered us. How did the devil hinder Paul? I don't have a clue, but I do know how he hinders us. I do know how he hinders us. I do know how he impedes our spiritual growth. So here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to set it up by telling you this. What I'm going to share with you is not a complete list of how Satan hinders us. But I want to share with you three ways that Satan hinders you and I today. Now, here's what I want you to understand about what I'm about to share. I didn't read these three things in a book. What I'm about to share with you comes from over 40 years of ministry and my own personal experiences. And I believe these are the three chief means by which Satan is hindering us. The three chief means by which he is trying to hinder our progress and cut us off from Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Number one, Satan hinders us through deception. Deception. Now, look at me and listen to me carefully. Ask yourself this question. How does Satan work today? Now, listen to me. Listen. This is the point of a sermon that frustrates me to no end. You've come through the introduction. Everybody kind of knows, okay, here he has established the foundation. Now we're going to go, and then people want to tune out. And what you want to do is pick this pulpit up and throw it against those concrete blocks and get everybody's attention. Say, oh, he wants us to hear it. This is what I want you to hear. Satan hinders us through deception. Ask yourself, how does Satan work today? Now, does Satan work miraculously today in order to seduce us? There's no evidence of that. There's not one shred of evidence that Satan is working miracles in order to capture our minds and our hearts. There's no evidence of that. So then how does he work today? Satan's power is in his ability to deceive us. That's his power. And that's his only power. The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness was built and continues to be built on deception and on lies. In Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the great dragon, and John wants you to know who it is. The old serpent, the dragon, devil, who is called Satan. Boy, he wants you to know who it is. John says in Revelation 12 that he is cast down on the earth, and verse 9 of Revelation 12 says that he is now set forth to deceive the whole world. Brethren, Satan does not capture our hearts by performing miracles. He captures our hearts by lying and us believing the lie. Now, right here, let me give you three examples how Satan hinders us by deceiving us in lies. I'm going to give you three examples of that. First, before you became a Christian, before you were saved, the devil tried to deceive you into not becoming a Christian. And this morning, you sit here and you're not a New Testament Christian, the devil is trying to deceive you in not becoming a New Testament Christian. And here's what he says, and he says it to all of us. God ain't got nothing for you. Listen, you want the fun? You got to stay with me. Ain't no fun in here. You can't do this. You can't do this. All this, thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that, and all these rules these folks got. Listen, it's too hard to be a Christian. You can't do it. It's too hard. You know what's hard? Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. You know what's hard? Sin is hard. You know what's hard? Living with the guilt of your sin on you, now that's what's hard. You know what's hard? Living your life looking over your shoulder, wondering if whoever you cheated yesterday is about to tap you on that shoulder. You know what's hard? Dying and going to hell. Now that's hard. So the devil hinders us through deception. And the first example of that is that before any of us became a Christian, the devil tried to deceive you into not becoming a Christian. Let me give you a second example of how the devil hinders us through deception. immediately after you became a Christian, the devil said, you got to get out of this. Now, he did everything he could to stop you before, but when you come up out of that baptistry, he wasn't done with you. He was just getting started. Yes. Now, let me tell you how this works. You become a Christian. You're a new Christian. And Sunday, you get up and you come to church and you sitting in the pew. And the devil is talking to you. Devil comes to church every Sunday. Now, a lot of the members don't, but the devil does. And the devil's telling you, well, please tell me that this ain't the plan. Please tell me the plan is not that we're going to get up every Sunday and come down here. Amen. And then tomorrow, Monday, you're going to go to pray. And the devil is going to say, look, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to pray. You going to pray? We went to church yesterday. Listen, we went to church yesterday. They prayed 4 or 5 times yesterday. All that praying you did yesterday, we have to be prayed up to at least Wednesday. Now, this is going to shock you, but I'm going to prove it to you. Do you know why when you become a Christian, the devil tries to hinder you through lying to you to get you to turn away from God? Do you know why the devil does that? The reason the devil does that is because the devil is afraid of you. I said he's afraid of you. You know what he's afraid of? He is afraid that you are going to make a difference as a Christian. And he don't want that. He's afraid you're going to make a difference. You're going to get involved with the work. You're going to be talking to people. You're going to be inviting people. And so before any of that, before he going to chance any of that, when you become a Christian, he tried to cut you off at the knees and say, no, we got to stop this because I don't know what you may end up doing. You hear that out there? That's God saying amen. Listen to me. You think the devil messed with Paul, ain't gonna mess with you? You think the devil wasn't afraid of Paul, but he afraid of you? Satan hinders us through deception. Before you became a Christian, he tried to deceive you into not becoming a Christian. After you were a Christian, he still is on you about being a Christian because he's afraid of what you may become. But the third example of the devil hindering us through deceit, through lies, is this. He tells every one of us, every one of us, you know what he tells us? You can get away with your sin. You know what he tells us? You're going to be the exception. Amen. You're going to be the exception. You're going to get away with it. You know, just get it planned and you're going to do this and nobody ever going to know about this and everything is going to be fine and that's exactly how it looks. Listen to me. I don't know nothing else, but I know this. All of the devil's apples have worms in them. I don't care how red it is. I don't care how juicy it looks. Listen! There's a worm in there. There's a worm in there. There was this moron who decided to rob a convenience store. So he planned it all out. And he said, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna walk in the convenience store. I'm gonna lay a $10 bill on the counter. I'm gonna take a pack of gum and lay it on a $10 bill, and I'm gonna tell the guy, yeah, that's all I want. And when he goes to make change for that $10 bill, when the cash register opens, I'm gonna reach in, grab the money, and run. See, he planned it all out, but he's a moron. So he planned it out, so that's just what he did. He walked into the convenience store, laid that $10 bill on the counter, laid that pack of gum on the counter. Yeah, that's all I want. And when the clerk opened the register, he reached over, grabbed the money, and ran out the front door. He was so proud of himself, but he was a moron. He's running down the street. I did it. I planned it. I did it. I got away with it, and everything is good. So he counted the money. Six $1 bills. Now, for those of you who have trouble with math, he left a $10 bill laying on the counter. So all his planning netted him a $4 loss. And when you hook up with the devil and think, I'm going to do this and nobody's going to find out about it, listen, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Moses cried, be sure your sin will find you out. The devil hinders us. The devil hinders us. He doesn't hinder us by doing a miracle. He hinders us by lying, and we listen to it. Number two. Boy, do I need you to hear this one. Satan hinders us through deception. Number two, listen to me now, Christian. Christian, listen to me. The devil hinders us through discouragement. Yes. Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Straight up. Elders get discouraged. You know why? Because we get one end tied down, and as soon as we look up, there's another end over here just flapping in the wind. Preachers get discouraged. I don't care how long they've been doing this. Devil gets in your ear, my ear. What are you doing? You going through all this? They don't want this. What they want is they want you to get up there and get down so they can get out and get on with their lives. And I tell the devil, then they going to the wrong place. Deacons get discouraged. Teachers get discouraged. Our wives get discouraged. Moms and dads get discouraged. Young and old get discouraged. And I'm telling you, I don't know nothing, but I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about right here. I'm telling you that for the Christian who is honest, who's sincere, who's not playing games, but who's at this thing, the devil's chief tool on him or her is discouragement. Yes. is discouragement. There is a legend. Now listen to me. Wake up a minute. This didn't really happen. Don't leave here and say, I said this really happened. This a legend. The devil was having an auction. It's a legend. Somebody gonna leave here and say, y'all said this. Devil's having an auction. And he's selling off some of his tools. So he's got a high price over here on hate. And he got a high price over here on jealousy. And he got a high price over here on prejudice. But there was one tool the devil had, and a big sign said, not for sale. So one of the little demons asked him, what is this tool you're not selling? The devil said, oh, that's discouragement. You can't have that at any price. He says, because I use that, and if I can get a Christian discouraged, I can pry into their heart and get them to walk away from God. Listen to me. Listen. The devil is going to try to get you away from God. Do you understand that? The devil will try to get you to sin to move you away from God. But if the devil can't get you to sin to walk away from God, then the devil will try something else. And the something else the devil will try is that the devil will try to discourage you. Because in his mind, if you don't come to church because you're in sin, or if you don't come to church because you're discouraged, to him, that's the same thing. You're not here. And a lot of folk who are honest and sincere, to whom life has been unkind to, I'm telling you, life has been unkind to you. And you get discouraged. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Look, I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel like hearing any of this today. Listen, when the devil discourages you, when you're discouraged, what you do next will determine the kind of Christian you're going to be. If he can't get you off into sin, then he's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to break you down, break your spirit to get you to walk away. You got a man up or sister up here and say, I'm not doing that. Paul said Satan entered us. I've been trying to get back there and trying, but the devil is impeding the progress. Listen, that's what he's doing to you and I. Wake up and see what's happening here. So Satan tries to hinder us through deception. Satan tries to hinder us through discouragement. Number three, and you're about to shake your head. Number three, Satan hinders us through religion. Are you listening? The devil is in the religion business, big time. How else do you explain all the confusion in the religious world today? This church over here says you got to do this and not that. That church over there says you got to do this and not that, and it's not what that one said.
This one over here says you ain't got to do either one of them, you just got to do this and that, neither one of the others. How do you explain all this religious confusion? Well, I'm going to tell you how you don't explain it. You don't explain it by laying it at the feet of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, Paul said that God is not the author of confusion. This confusion in the religious world can only be laid at one person's feet, and that is at the feet of the devil. Now listen to me. You're about to learn something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said that the devil blinds the minds of those who do not believe to the light of the gospel. Did you hear what I said? The devil blinds, they allow the devil to blind their mind to the light of the gospel. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible. We're going to look at two verses and we're going to close. But I want you to see these two verses, and we are all about to learn something. First, turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Jesus has died. He's had his life, he's had his ministry, he dies, he's been buried, he's been raised, and he's about to ascend to heaven, but he's going to make this statement. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Then he said to them, are you there? Luke 24, 44. We got it? Look what Jesus said. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. In other words, before I died, this is what I told you. Now look at it. That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now I want you to see two things in that verse. First of all, Jesus breaks the entirety of the Old Testament into three parts: the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. That's the entire Old Testament. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets. The second thing I want you to see there is that Jesus said, everything that was written about me in the Old Testament is fulfilled. If you want to know all of this about me and what was going to happen, it was all in the Old Testament. And Jesus said all you had to do was read it. You got that? Do you see that? Now listen to me. Here it is. Do you know what that verse teaches me? That verse teaches me you can be a diligent student of the word and still miss Jesus. Yes. Look, how else do you explain the Pharisees? How do you explain to Jewish leaders? Listen, those men studied the Old Testament all of their lives. Listen, they were Jews. They were raised up in Jewish households where the law was taught at an early age. Those men went to the rabbinical schools of their day, every day of their life. They studied the Old Testament scriptures diligently, waiting for the Messiah. And when Jesus come, they didn't have a clue who he was and ended up killing him. How is this possible? How is this possible? All your
your life. You wait for the Messiah every day of your life. You study, here he is, and you killed him. How is that possible? The second verse is going to show us how that is possible and is still going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15. Are you there? Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. Paul said, "Yes, to this day, whenever Moses," that is the old law, "whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts." That's how it happens. That's how it happens. They read the truth. They hear the truth. The truth begins to come in, but then they allow Satan to place a veil over their understanding, and so they are hindered because they reject the word because of their preconceived ideas to the word. Did you hear what I just said? Satan blinded them to the truth with their preconceived ideas of the Messiah. Listen, the Jews thought the Messiah was going to be a military leader. The Jews thought that when the Messiah come, it talks in the Old Testament about setting up a kingdom. They thought that was going to be a political kingdom, not a spiritual kingdom, and that the Messiah would ride in on a white stallion and deliver them from Rome, and they would take charge. And then here comes Jesus on the back of a donkey. You know what blinded them? Their preconceived ideas to the scripture. And that's still happening. Look, people don't go to the Bible to find out what the truth is. People decide what the truth is and then go to the Bible and try to find a verse to prove what they've already decided they're going to believe. Amen. Listen, you know what folks debate? Baptism. What are we debating here? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." What are we arguing about? How do we not understand what that says? The only way you can misunderstand that is somebody has to help you. Because if you picked it up on your own and read it, you'd know exactly what it says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Baptism now saves us. Say, "Well, you magic water." I didn't say magic water. It's an act of faith. It's the act of faith in our obedience to the gospel. Saul was told to rise and be baptized, and in that act, wash away sin, and people still want to debate. What are we debating? You know what we're debating? People's preconceived ideas. Because they've been taught, they've been told, this isn't the way it is. And if you see a verse, "Well, that's what it says, but that's not what it means." Well, if it doesn't say what it means, how's anybody know what it means? Faithfulness the same way. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we got a half a dozen things out there in front of Jesus, but we're telling ourselves it's okay. Why? That's our preconceived ideas. we go to close right now. Satan hinders us through deception. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Nose is long. Well, never mind. He lying. Satan hinders us through discouragement. If he can't get you to sin, then he gonna wear you out with discouragement. And you just gonna be, oh. And people gonna be jumping out of windows to get away from you. And Satan hinders us through religion. Everybody who stands up and preaches with tears running down their face are not telling you the truth. Search the script. You an adult? Open that book and read it yourself. Now here's the close. How do we fight this? Don't leave me now, because now I'm telling you how to keep the devil at bay. How do we fight this? He's coming at me with lies, and he's coming at me with discouragement and all this other nonsense. How do we fight the devil? Number one, use the same weapon on Satan that Jesus used on him. Remember Matthew 4? 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus and the devil, nose to nose. And every time the devil tempted him, Jesus says, "It is written." And he put the word on it. Jesus didn't use a gun. He used a scripture. Use the same weapon on Satan that Jesus used. Put the word on him. When the devil tries to get you, say, hey, he that's in me is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4, back up. When the devil comes on you, 1 John 3:8, 1 John 3:8, the purpose that Jesus came into the world was to destroy the works of the devil. Tell him that. Put the same weapon on the devil Jesus did. Number two, stop giving the devil an opportunity. This is what we do. We play with him. Ephesians 4:26. Do not give the devil a foothold. You know what that means? When the devil knocks on your on the heart, listen, when the devil knocks on the door of your heart, don't crack the door. Because if he gets his foot in there, you give him an opportunity. If he gets his foot in there, before long, all of him's going to be in there. And before you get turned around, he's going to be laying on your couch with the remote in his hand. Just taking over. How do I fight him? Use same weapon Jesus did. Don't give him an opportunity. Stop playing with him. Stop playing with him. These folks who get around and play in the hornet's nest, and then when they get stung, well, how'd I get stung? Because you messing with the hornets. Back up off of them. Don't give him an opportunity. Finally, how you fight the devil? Here's how you fight the devil. You watch and you pray. That's what Jesus told Peter, James, and John in the garden the last night of his life. He says, watch and pray, Matthew 26, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and vigilant. Listen, the devil is out there. Wake up. Wake up and pray. When Jesus was teaching about prayer in Matthew 6, he says, and pray that you enter not into temptation. God, keep the devil away from me today. The devil's going to hinder you, but here's what you need to understand. God has not only given us everything we need to fight the devil, but God has given us everything we need to win the battle against the devil. And that's what you got to embrace. This morning, you're being hindered by the devil. He lied to you. Listen, walk away from that. Walk away from that. The devil has hindered you by discouraging you. You got to understand where that discouragement is coming from, and you got to shoot that down. And you holding on to something that somebody told you the Bible said, and you know yourself the Bible don't say that nowhere. You know what this is? This is break free day. This break free day. Free yourself from this mess. Come to God. Be encouraged. Live at peace. Do this. Do this. Right now, as together we stand.